This is
Make It Kind.
M.I.P.
with Masamela Matfumo.
Mark Thompson.
Make It Kind.
Get woke.
Hackers don't need much. Just one leaked password can potentially unlock a treasure trove of personal information, leading to stress, pain, and permanently wrecked credit. Don't be an easy target. Get protection by Aura today. Aura protects your identity, finances, and family, all in one powerful app. Get real-time alerts, safeguard your accounts, and block scams before they happen. If identity theft strikes, we help you recover. Stay protected at aura.com/listen. That's aura.com/listen.
New from Radiotopia presents Red for Revolution, an audio drama about Black love, queer romance, and liberation. Join Jasmine, an 18-year-old navigating her queer identity while learning about her grandmother's secret love affair. Through her discoveries, we're transported back to 1971 to witness two remarkable women embark on a romance that defies all conventions. Subscribe to Radiotopia Presents and listen to Red for Revolution wherever you get your podcasts.
Folks, it's been a minute, long overdue, but we are here. Once again, with our dear friend Marcos for Thursday Coast. Marcos, as you all know, is the founder of the largest online progressive community, ThursdayCoast.com. No, Daily Coast. This is Thursday Coast. Daily
Coast. Don't go to that URL. We don't know what's in there.
Yeah, we don't know. DailyCoast.com. Yeah. Man, how are you?
I am, you know, It's bleak times, but you know, always finding the light with family and friends, and even in starting to see lives, you know, little signs of resistance starting to flash back on. So taking solace in some of that, but yeah, no, times are tough.
But yet, we didn't do too bad Tuesday, did we?
You know, despite. Somebody said, and this was really put well, somebody said that Hakeem Jeffries and Chuck Schumer, they were behaving like opposition leaders when we need resistance leaders. Like that was a very good way of putting it. They think business as usual, right? I mean, you run a campaign correctly talking about how Donald Trump is a threat to our very democracy and the world order. And then you pretend that he's like normal. And so there was always dissonance with that. And on Tuesday, what we saw is a continuation of dramatic overperformance in Democratic turnout and underperformance in Trump's vote in special elections. And we had the two special elections in Florida, Matt Gaetz's and Mike Waltz's seats. Mike Waltz is maybe just fired. I just saw the news that he potentially may have been just fired, you know, just now as we talk.
Okay.
There's rumors that happened. These were the Gaetz seat was a 35 plus 35 Trump seat. The Waltz seat was a plus 30. And Democrats came within 15 points of each. And okay, you lost by 15. Big deal. I did an analysis, Mark, and if we see that kind of overperformance next year, Democrats would pick up about 50 seats in the House and four or five seats in the Senate. And the Senate is a terrible map. It's a Republican-friendly map. So we would retake control of the Senate. We would dramatically retake control of the House if that overperformance sticks. We saw the Wisconsin Supreme Court race, right? This is a state that Trump won by 1 point last year. The Democrat judge won by 10, despite $25 million spent by Elon Musk and Trump, you know, saying that Western society was on the line in that race. So we are seeing, even if our leaders in Washington are not stepping up, we are seeing that core Democratic voters are sort of fed up. And just as importantly, that Trump voters don't seem to be particularly motivated to turn out on their own front. And they haven't even been truly hurt yet. They're about to get truly, truly, truly screwed by Trump here in the next 6 months. That hasn't even happened. So there is a shift happening in the base. I think there's signs of resistance, signs of life. You're seeing that in the Trump protest. I think that Cory Booker really stepped up at exactly the right moment with his marathon record-breaking 25-hour barn-burning speech in the Senate, mm-hmm. where he 25. I bet he could have gone another 25 hours and not run out of material. That was so he did never ran out of material to talk about. And so you're starting to finally see that, okay, Democrats are realizing that this is the time to start fighting is now. And it's not a question of just shrugging your shoulders and saying like, well, what can we do? You got to start laying the rhetorical foundation for an alternative to Trump and really pinning Trumpism on every single Republican. This is where even Joe Biden kind of screwed. He was trying to like wedge Republicans away from Donald Trump. So he tried to kind of, you know, treated Trump as he was an anomaly. Like Trump is different, but you Republicans, you're decent people. Trump's not one of you. Trump is them. Trump is a Republican Party. Just freaking accept that and then move beyond that. Because, Mark, as much as the markets are crashing right now, layoffs are already being announced, our allies are treating us like the enemy, as much as that is happening and as much as Republicans are showing real discomfort right now, I don't think I've seen anybody really defend Trump today. There's a lot of discomfort. They could put an end to this right now. They could pass a law that would strip Trump of the ability to do these tariffs, which actually tariffs are on the Constitution. The House is empowered to do tariffs, not the presidency. Congress gave away that right to the president under emergency, which is why Trump has pretended that this fentanyl thing is reason to put tariffs on Canada. You have to make something up, create a fake emergency.
Yeah.
And so they could revoke that right now, today. But they're afraid because they're one and the same. The Republican Party is Trump and Trump is the Republican Party.
Now, in terms of the news you just mentioned, what I'm saying, Newsweek is reporting that Trump has fired Mike Waltz's staff. Trump firing Mike Waltz staffers after Laura Loomer White House visit. That's in the past 30 minutes. President Trump has, according to Newsweek, President Trump has initiated the removal of several senior officials from the White House, National Security Council, following a push from far-right actress Laura Loomer, who urged the president to dismiss staffers who she viewed as not fully aligned with the Make America Great agenda. She presented her findings during a meeting in the Oval Office, making the case for personnel changes. Associated Press is apparently reporting the same thing, but it does not address the other controversy of him using Gmail and what have you, and the text and Signal, the controversial piece with the Atlantic. But this is reporting that it's about them not being full MAGA enough for Laura Loomer. So
yeah, Trump, the reporting was that he did not want to give the Atlantic, quote, a scalp. And that's why he would rather keep incompetent, treasonous officials basically giving away our secrets to our enemies.
Well, he's treasonous.
Because it might make him look bad.
He's treasonous.
Because it does make him look bad. I mean,
he already looks bad.
Yeah, he doesn't know how to pick right people. I mean, he's you know, dictators, they do not surround themselves with competent people because competent people can put a bullet in their heads, right? They know this. Trump knows that those establishment Republicans that sort of created guardrails for him in his first term, they opened the door to the impeachment. And so he wants all sycophants, and anybody that is going to treat Trump like Trump knows what he's doing is a freaking moron. Every single one of them. Just by definition, he cannot be around anybody smart. So, or competent.
Yeah.
Only the best people, right? Only the best people.
Yeah. So people, many are feeling buoyed by Tuesday, although there was a lot of optimism about Florida. And I didn't have the heart to quote you in some of the circles I was in, because one of my favorite quotes of yours is, Florida always breaks our hearts. So I was like, you know, ain't no point even. Oh, Florida gonna do it? I was like, I don't know.
Nah, 30 points is too much. But I will say that the Senate race in Florida next year should be interesting. And
what's gonna happen there? Hmm? What do you think is gonna happen?
So Debbie Mariscal Powell lost by 13 points. So you think, okay, big gap, Florida's lost. But again, I mean, you're seeing these 15-point overperformances, and it's an open seat because it's Marco Rubio's seat. I can see a scenario where there's an absolute wave election the way things are shaping up. And even Republicans are saying, Rand Paul was saying, if Trump doesn't roll back these tariffs, we are going to see the biggest wave, Democratic wave, we've ever seen. And I don't think he's wrong. So this is not a situation. I don't think Florida is competitive in a normal year, not anymore. Just even migration flows into Florida. You see that. What we need, Mark, is we need Florida Democrats to move to Georgia and North Carolina. That's what we need. That would nicely offset losing Florida. But I don't think next year is going to be a normal year. I mean, Trump's not a normal president. He's not even by Trump standards, he is completely and utterly making a mess of things in a way that harms his people. Mark, this is a crazy thing, right? For the first time, and I didn't go way back, but for the first time in recent history, Republicans won the vote of those making under 50,000, and Democrats won the vote of those making more than 50,000. And it sort of tracks with education as well, right? The more education, the more earning potential you have. Republicans are the party of the poor now. Just by the data, Republicans are the party of the poor. Democrats are the party of the wealthy and educated and cultural elite, the economic elite. So what happens when you come in like a normal Republican and you get rid of Medicare? I wrote a story a month ago, like some like over 60% of over 60% of Medicaid funding goes to rural America. That's all being decimated. Tariffs, they're impacting rural America. That's Republican territory. Getting rid of USAID. It wasn't a lot of money, but those billions of dollars were literally buying American agricultural products. These are the farmers. If you go down the list, everything Trump is doing, even deportations that affects agriculture because they don't have people to pick in the field, everything Trump is doing is almost a direct hit on his own base. Mm-hmm. It is actually kind of amazing how surgically he is screwing his own people. That does not mean that good Democrats are also not being affected. Obviously, even in a 80% rural Trump district, you have 20% Democrats, right? They're getting just as screwed. Does not mean that the black and brown communities in cities are not being affected. Obviously, they are. But Mark, those communities are used to being screwed, mm-hmm. right? That's the status quo.
Yeah.
Rural America, they're used to like billions in subsidies, and they're used to having markets opened up to them by free trade and open trade policy. And they're used to federal money to upgrade their equipment. Like they're used to that. They're not used to suddenly being cut off. Mm-hmm. So what happens in that environment? And that's a big question. And Mark, I see a lot of them, right? I keep tabs on them. And a lot of them are like, yeah, I don't like what Trump is doing, but Kamala Harris would have been so much worse, right? That's how they rationalize it. then there's a 30% of Trump cultists who, like, no matter what, Trump can do no wrong, right? Like, they're long. All we need, Mark, is 5 to 10% of Trump voters to flip. It's not a big number. That would be 7, 8 million votes that suddenly flip. 5 to 10%. Maybe the 50% that didn't vote. Let's get 5 to 10% of those people who didn't vote. Let's get them to vote.
Right.
Then it's not even close, right? You know, we've talked about this for years, where right now this is a 51-49 country, 51% Democratic, 49% Republican. If we don't turn out, they win. That's what happened last year. Our vote did not turn out the way it did in 2020. We need just move that 4 points to 55-45, and you can have an environment that, like last year, what happened is the nation moved 6 points to the right. If we have a 10-point cushion, it's a 55-45% country. We still win.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what we need. So this is what I'm hoping. Now, next year's going to be an anomaly. Next year is just not a, it's not going to be a normal year. I think there's going to be a big blue tsunami. I think it's going to be, yeah, it's going to be like shattering. It's going to shatter the Republican Party next year. But I'm not, next year's next year. Like, yeah, we got to stop them next year. How do we break this cycle where we're so closely tied as a country that a Trump can come in and frickin' win and break the entire world order? It's not enough that he's breaking America. He's taking down the rest of the world with him. How do we prevent that?
So New York Times is now confirming that after the meeting with Laura Loomer, the Trump administration has fired at least 3 National Security Council officials. Again, it seems to be because of her.
But no names yet. Waltz is not one of them?
No names yet. Okay. I haven't gotten any names yet. The 3 officials were among those vilified by Ms. Loomer during a meeting at the White House Wednesday. Other members of the National Security Council are expected to be fired as part of the purge, the official added. Some of those officials have been detailed to the council and were sent back to their home agencies over the weekend, even before the meeting. Now, this is interesting. The meeting was also attended by Mr. Waltz, Vance, other senior officials. For now, one of her top targets, the Deputy National Security Advisor, Alex Wong, has been spared. It is unclear, New York Times, it is unclear what the firings mean for Mr. Waltz, who has a tenuous hold on his own job. Mr. Trump has so far declined to terminate Mr. Waltz after he inadvertently invited the Atlantic journalist Jeffrey Goldberg onto a single group chat in which top officials, including Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth, shared sensitive details about forthcoming military strikes against Houthi terrorists. But senior officials who have discussed Mr. Waltz privately with the president say that Mr. Trump's reluctance to fire his national security advisor is more a matter of him wanting to avoid bad publicity, as you said, Marcos, than a sign of confidence in him. Mr. Trump has made clear to his staff that he does not want to give the media the satisfaction of seeing Waltz fired. He does not want to start the cycle of firing top officials that plagued his first term. So that's the latest on that. Also, you mentioned this tariff situation. This is having an impact. U.S. markets plunge from shock of Trump's new tariffs. Now, this is supposed to be Mr. Business, art of the deal, and the businesses love him, and everybody's caving into him. Oh, he's business. I don't understand that. How does he crash the stock market, and then it's still okay? And look, there are people smarter about this stuff, tariffs and the economy, than you, me, and Trump. How could they not know supporting him and thereby supporting his tariff would not yield this kind of stock market drop? How could they not know that, Marcos? I need help with that.
Because Trump is this historically anomalous creature that has this incredible superpower where people believe his lies. They don't believe his truths. And then they fill in the blanks when they don't know any better. And people were like, oh, he's not serious about tariffs. He's just negotiating. He said what he was going to do. This is the part you know, all these people like, don't take away my Medicaid. He literally said he was. Well, I didn't think he was serious. I thought he was going to focus on criminals. I thought he was. If you listen to any one of his speeches, he's doing exactly what he said he was going to do. So, yeah, Mark, I don't understand why people are so stupid, particularly after seeing him the first time. And it's this notion that, well, you know, it's funny because there is a quote somewhere where somebody asked Trump, I think yesterday, about or maybe it was a behind the scenes quote, but where people, he had some CEOs came in and were telling him not to do tariffs, and he told them to shut up and enjoy their deregulation.
Yeah.
First of all, there's no deregulation yet. because Trump doesn't care about deregulation. But they really thought that Trump would give him all the good things with none of the bad things that he promised. And congratulations, you got what you voted for.
Yeah.
That's the only good thing about this, is that people that are suffering the most are the people that actually voted for him. And so all those CEOs and all those finance bros and all the crypto bros and all these people who believe them on this stuff, they're losing losing everything. And it sucks that they're bringing everybody else down with them. But it would be a lot harder if Trump was actually smart and he just targeted liberals. But no, he's taking everybody down with him. He don't care. And he said it. He said at a campaign rally, he said, "I don't care about you. I just want your vote." He literally said that at a rally. And I don't understand how people would listen to that and go like, "Oh, maybe this guy's not in my corner. Maybe this guy is a problem, and maybe we should stay away from it." Like, I don't understand. I will never understand that. And I'm with you. It makes absolutely no sense.
Now, you mentioned, and that's incredible, that the Republican Party in this past cycle has become the party of the poor. That's really profound. We got to do something about that, because that doesn't make any sense. But I think it speaks to, I'm called now to put up this this quote from LBJ, folks. So many of you will recall it when you see it. It's right at the top of the screen if you're watching, but I'm going to read it for those listening. "If you can convince the lowest white man he's better than the best colored man, he won't notice you're picking his pocket. Hell, give him somebody to look down on and he'll empty his pockets for you." Dr. King had a similar quote that was a little bit different. But that's kind of where we are.
That's a direct hit. It's exactly where we're at. And then those same people are buying Trump meme coins and Trump paraphernalia, and they're spending what little money they have on this con artist. You know, there's a post on the Our Conservative, on the subreddit, the conservative subreddit, that was actually kind of fascinating, because right now they're struggling. Conservative people on Reddit, they are struggling.
How so?
And so this one guy today, he says, "I voted for Trump and I would totally vote for him again. And I'm so happy what he's doing about shutting down the border and about keeping men from women's sports. But," and then this whole list was like, "I'm losing my job because of tariffs. And why is he talking, you know, he didn't like how Trump is pro-Russia, and why is he defending Putin?" Which, by the way, Russia was not on the list of nations tariffed, just shockingly. And then he was saying, like, why is Trump being so belligerent towards our friends, like the Canadians? And what's he talking about invading Canada? I wanted peace. I didn't want somebody who would invade, who's talking about invading Canada and Greenland. This guy literally, because he hates trans people and he hates brown people, he would still vote for Trump, even though he admits that Trump is a Putin stooge who is wrecking the economy and it's costing him his job. So they're like, there's a lot of like, why can't he just focus on hating the people I want to hate and instead he's hurting me?
Yeah.
That's the dissonance right there. And again, we only need 5 to 10% of them to be like, you know what? Screw this. Like, this is not. But that quote basically says that they're what, 12 trans female athletes in all college sports. But okay, they can't compete anymore. And that's totally worth losing your job and bringing down the global economy. That is what that is the trade-off. And I think they're struggling with it. And I suspect that a lot of the, well, I like some of his things, they have to like credential themselves. Because if they just came out and said, what the heck Trump's doing? He's costing me my job with these tariffs. People will accuse that person of being a liberal, which is what they do.
Right.
No. Kind of like inoculate yourself. And like, I hate the same people we all hate. But why is he screwing me? And I struggle with it, Mark. I've been writing this weekly feature every Saturday, where I look at a conservative who supported Trump and now is being hurt by Trump. So it's farmers, it's Latino conservatives, it's people that are in public assistance who are conservative, government workers who are conservative, who lost their jobs. So I look at that, and Mark, it's really tough for me because they're only upset at Trump because he's hurting the wrong person. Right. So even these government workers, right? Like, I support him cutting waste and fraud, but my job is not waste and fraud. And it's like, dude, you're right, a government right. worker.
Right.
Every
right. Right.
Single
right.
Single government worker is waste and fraud. Do you not listen to them? And sorry, your job working on a Great Lakes fishery, that's, you know, why would you think that was more important than any number of other, you know, essential functions? And I am all for government-funded research into Great Lake fisheries because it supports
right.
entire industries
right. right
in the Midwest, in the right. Great Lakes region. But yeah, like, you can't work for the government and vote for the party that hates government. It's just not how it works. And the only reason they're upset is because they were hurt. They would be totally happy if millions of other people lost their jobs and they kept theirs. That would be totally cool. They would be all right there for it. But because they're impacted, suddenly they care. So if it was Black people in the cities, Latinos, that getting deported, Black people losing their public benefits. Oh, they'd be all for that. But now they don't like it because they're losing their government benefits. Now there's a problem. This is the dissonance on my end because it's hard for me to feel sorry for people that are being hurt by Trump when they wanted that pain for somebody else.
Hackers don't need much. Just one leaked password can potentially unlock a treasure trove of personal information, leading to stress, pain, and permanently wrecked credit. Don't be an easy target. Get protection by Aura today. Aura protects your identity, finances, and family, all in one powerful app. Get real-time alerts, safeguard your accounts, and block scams before they happen. If identity theft strikes, we help you recover. Stay protected at aura.com/listen. That's aura.com/listen.
But that's the history. It's too long to post, but I just want to read it to you all. We talk about Dr. King's speeches, March on Washington, and others. Today, actually, is anniversary of his speech in Memphis the night before he died. Tomorrow will be the anniversary of his martyrdom. But he said 60 years ago, at the end of the march from Selma to Montgomery, he said these words: "It may be said of the slavery era that the white man took the world and gave the Negro Jesus. Then it may be said of the Reconstruction era that the Southern aristocracy took the world and gave the poor white man Jim Crow. And when his wrinkled stomach cried out for the food that his empty pockets could not provide," his empty pockets again, "that his empty pockets could not provide, he ate Jim Crow, a psychological bird that told him no matter how bad off he was," what Marcos described, "no matter how bad off he was losing his job, at least he was a white man, better than the Black man. And he ate that Jim Crow. And when his undernourished children cried out for the necessities that his low wages could not provide, he showed them the Jim Crow signs on the buses and in the stores, on the streets and in the public buildings. And his children, too, learned to feed upon Jim Crow, their last outpost of psychological oblivion. So that's what America does, folks. Now, before we go, you say, I want y'all to pay very close attention to this, Marcos may traumatize us all at this moment. You say that you have found what could be their basis for giving him another term in office.
Yeah. Yeah. So Trump could serve a third term. Not very likely, and I'll explain why, but it is within the realm of possibility, which is why I think Trump's got it stuck in his head. Trump thinks he's the center of the universe. He thinks he's all powerful. He thinks he's a God king. So, of course, he thinks that the improbable might happen because he got elected twice, probably. So the way it works, people are sort of fixated on this idea that Trump could run, Vance could run for president, and Trump would be on as vice president. And then JD would resign and Trump would be elevated, right? Problem is, the Constitution very clearly prohibits both being elected to a third term, so he can't run for president, but also the Constitution very clearly says that the vice president has to be eligible for the presidency. And the fact that he cannot be president, elected president, means he's not eligible. Just like you couldn't have somebody who's under 35 be the vice president. You can have somebody who's foreign born be vice president because they're not eligible for the right. for the office. So that's clear. And Trump mentioned that, and but he said there's other options. And so here's the other options. The other options are a lot more interesting. It only says the vice presidential position, you have to be eligible for president. The order of succession for president is vice president, Speaker of the House, the Senate President Pro Temp, and Secretary of State. That is the order of succession. Those do not have constitutional requirements. Literally, there are no requirements for any of those positions. A House can be anybody. Now, by tradition, it has always been a House member, but they could make Donald Trump Speaker of the House. The Senate pro temp is temporary. The president of the Senate is the vice president. So if the vice president's not around, the Senate, you know, the Senate pro temp is the acting Senate president. Now, there's no real role for a Senate president. It's a mostly ceremonial position. If you're vice president, you can cast a tie-breaking vote. The Senate, the president pro temp cannot cast a tie-breaking vote. So it's really ceremonial. And so what the Senate does is it just gives it to the oldest member of the party in power. So right now it's Chuck Grassley because he's like 135 years old. So the, but what they could do again, there's no constitutional requirement for who that is. Senate could put anybody they want. So they can make Donald Trump the you know, Senate pro temp. And same with Secretary of State. So now there's a constitutional argument that the Supreme Court would have to address whether the intent of the 22nd Amendment was to keep somebody who would run, you know, serve two terms to be president again. But that's not constitutionally prohibited specifically. It would have to be sort of an intent of the framers of that amendment. So there is a scenario, and it would, you know, you'd have to have, Republicans would have to have the House, where they make Donald Trump Speaker of the House, the Republican ticket wins, both the president and vice president resign, and then Trump becomes president again. That is what they're thinking. Now, in reality, Mark, who the hell is going to run for president, go through the trouble of all that freaking work, get elected, and then give it up for freaking Trump? And not just the president, but the vice president. So both of them would have to step down for Trump. I don't see a scenario in the world where that happens. I don't think anybody's that dumb.
Yeah, that's a lot. But now, you know, Elie Mystal has his own scenario he's kind of laid out. or at least he shared with me. He says, who's going to stop the red states from just putting him back on the ballot? And that's his lack of faith in the Roberts Court. Like, who's going to stop it?
The Constitution is very clear, though. There's no out. It says cannot be elected a third term. So now there's a case that this administration is lawless and they're ignoring the Constitution. But at that point, he doesn't even have to run for re-election. He can just say, I'm not leaving the White House.
Right. I mean, might as well just do that. Right.
Yeah. So why go through the trouble?
And then, what if the states, the red states, decide not to even hold elections for president?
It makes it easier for us to win. I guess it's the majority of the electoral vote.
So, you know, it's
can their electors cast votes if there hasn't been a vote in the election? Oh, no, it's a good question, actually, because I don't know. I would assume there has to be an election of some sort.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, whether Trump is lawless, it's almost inevitable. I'll call it right now. What is this? April 3rd, 2024, 2025. Trump's going to get impeached again. And this time he might actually be convicted. I don't see a scenario in which he survives 4 years of this kind of lawlessness without getting impeached. So,
and if we went back to the House next year, he'll definitely get impeached.
He'll get impeached. The question is it worth it? Is it really worth it? To spend the time when you can just, you know, because you can't, you know, can you get conviction? But you might even be able to get conviction. I mean, obviously, Mitch McConnell will be gone and do bad, but I think Mitch McConnell today would vote for conviction. There's going to be a need for Republicans to distance themselves from Trump.
Yeah.
Because he is he's hurting their base. And so you have these farm state Republicans. That's why four or five of them voted with Democrats in a symbolic resolution in the Senate yesterday to revoke tariffs on Canada. Yeah. And Chuck Grassley just introduced a bill with somebody else. I can't remember who it was. But Chuck Grassley, Republican, introduced a bill that would revoke the president's ability to do emergency tariffs, like what he's doing right now. They're going to have to distance themselves, especially if they get their asses whooped next year. And he's not going to run for re-election. He can't hurt them anymore. So at that point, what happens?
Yeah.
So I suspect by the end of this, he'll be impeached and convicted. And JD will be president for about 3 months.
Okay.
That's my prediction.
From your lips to God's ears. Marcos Melissa's folks, Thursday Coast, dailycoast.com. Check it out. We've been away too long, but we're back with Marcos. And, you know, the world definitely didn't stop spinning while we've been away. My grandmother, God rest her soul, used to have a saying in moments like this, stop the world so I can get off. and I notice how many of us feel these days. Lord have mercy.
Ooh. Can Elon and Donald go to Mars, please? Can they just go now?
Yeah. or go take one of them vehicles to the Titanic. The one that broke. Yeah, why don't you do that for us? Yeah, go to Titanic. Titanic. Go down there and check it out so, you know, some can.
Be presidents of an entire planet.
You think Elon, so they're acting like Elon's gone, but somebody said to me today it don't matter anymore because Elon's got all our data. He's good. He can go.
Elon's good. He's not going to be gone, though.
Whether he stays or not, he has all of our data, y'all.
They're claiming he's not part of Doge anyway. Like, legally, he's not a director because he should have been confirmed, and he wasn't. And so they're claiming he's not even part of Doge. So what does it matter if he leaves when he's technically not there already? Of course he's going to be.
They had me speak at the rally, or really MC the rally for the American Federation of Government Employees several weeks ago. And he's decimated that. He's nullified every union contract except the Border Patrol.
Yeah.
Okay. So I met at a office of, what was it? Office of Personnel Management headquarters in DC. And this is what the people said. They said that the kids, I mean, he's got teenagers running through OPM. mm-hmm. those teenagers. And he said, Mark, it's the kids are so young doing must work. It literally looks like a daycare center in there. And they're just going through everybody's stuff. Just and let's remind everybody, because somebody said, well, what's the purpose? I said, well, keep in mind, now, I have this on good authority. He's messing with every agency's procurement, right? Firing procurement officials so they can house procurement in one place. I think GSA, mm-hmm. which has been done in past history, and it didn't work because the government is so vast. One office can't handle procurement for the massive federal government. Mm-hmm. And so people are like, well, wonder what the real agenda is. And I said, listen, first of all, we need the Freedom of Information Act. Maybe Daily Coast can do this. The W-2 of his as a Russian operative. Because, folks, it's not, he's not just doing something. He wants to scuttle the very function. Mm-hmm. Part of it is to get Musk money, get him contracts. But let's just tear the whole thing apart. Because if it can function, that helps his employer, Putin. Mm-hmm. There are many ways to bring down a nation, bring down a government. So I'm hearing from people like, you know, and this gets into the weeds. Said, Mark, you didn't realize they are literally sabotaging the procurement system, the billing. I mean, the fundamental mm-hmm. stuff that just makes stuff mm-hmm. that makes the cogs just function every day. They are tearing it apart bit by bit so that this thing just implodes. So now you don't do that. If you're a real CEO, which he never was, if you're a real business person, you don't do that. You don't tear up your own business from the inside. Technically, nope. He's the CEO of America, tearing mm-hmm. it up from the inside. So we got to understand that that's his job. That's his real job. I remind you, go and look at The Americans. It's available everywhere. It was on FX at one time, the series, because that's what this is about. A couple that comes over here. And I mean, it's really fascinating when you watch it. And this happened allegedly. It was set during it didn't happen. It was set during the Reagan administration. But y'all, this is, he does not plan for this little red wagon to go anymore, ultimately. And so you may be right, Mark. I mean, folks get wind of this. Wait, he got to go. We got to impeach this dude. We got to convict this dude. He is not, and that is not upholding the Constitution. You and I are not trying to dismantle government, and we didn't take the oath. But every day we're not doing that. We are more oath committed than he is, mm-hmm. even by being still right now.
These farm state Republicans are really freaked out right now. And I mean, you even have Rand Paul, who, you know, Rand Paul is Rand Paul, but he's on a warpath last couple of days. And so, and we're still only on month, what, 2, 3? So, I mean, if they're this upset before the economic pain hits those individuals, those elected officials' pocketbooks, that, I mean, it's bleak. I mean, it is absolutely going to devastate those red states. Yeah. Like, I'm telling you, it's almost surgical in how precise his attacks hurt the Republican base because they are the party of the poor now. So they are more people under 50, you know, making under 50,000 vote Republican. They're the ones that are going to suffer the most with higher prices, inflation, inability to get cheap crap from Shein and Temu and the Chinese, you know, drop shippers on Amazon. That is going to affect them. I mean, it's literally striking a blow at his supporters, like almost direct. Now, again, I'm not saying this is a good thing. I'm not saying that our people are not being affected, because of course we are. But like I said earlier, I think our communities are used to sort of, you know, being shit on. I mean, it's status quo. Like that's part of the reason they don't vote, because they don't feel that anybody actually has their back and, you know, make things better for them. And they're not wrong. I mean, the acquisition of wealth, you know, towards the Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos happened just as much under Democratic administrations as it did under Republican ones, right? So I'm not going to pretend that, you know, we have the strongest case to make for poor people to vote at all. because they just don't feel like it matters. But now it's those white poor voters who have been protected by Republicans, even if just culturally, you know, with like the quotes that you put up, even if that, you know, there was a party that was looking out for them, at least making them feel better. And right now, Trump's not even pretending. They don't care about
this. The data you're sharing also makes their argument, and that's what needs defibrillating. Those of us who were traditionally downtrodden and crapped upon because of civil rights, which is, you know, become somewhat synonymous with DEI, folks have been able to move up. So women and other minorities have been able to get degrees and get decent jobs. Yeah. And now some of these other folk, wait a minute, we don't have nothing like we used to have. We used to have all of that. We don't have it. I guess they think as much, even though they do. So that's part of the backlash or the white lash. But then you become it was an old song, but you become a victim of the very songs you sing. So you ally yourself with someone who's breaking you anyway. He is breaking you in the name of what you think you no longer have to make sure you truly don't even have what you already have now. So it's a mess. And it's, yeah, it's crazy.
When it comes to fungicides, there's only one way to spell yield. N-E-O. Miravis Neo is the 2024 number one retailer recommended corn fungicide for a reason. It dominates spots, rots, blights, and stress to out-yield competitive brands like Veltima. And there's 6 years of university data to prove it. Ask your Syngenta retailer about using Miravis Neo for more yield more often. Based on 2024 Stratus Retailer Efficacy Study. Always read and follow label instructions.